It is good to be home. Amen?
Amen.
It is good to be with all of you this nor'easter evening. The worst of the flooding in Hampton comes overnight tomorrow night, so all bets are off after today. But it is, I know a lot of prayers are going up for Joaquin, and prayers are going up for us, and we are here to celebrate and to call on the prayer of the Spirit and to hear what God has for us this evening. So it is indeed a joy to be here with you all this evening. And so I begin tonight with 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 16. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And friends, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when I got the invitation to come back and to stand in this pulpit once again to preach, you know, a few days went by, and I thought, you know, I need to check in with Warren, and, you know, what's the theme for this revival that's going on? And he sends a response back, bringing Jesus Christ back into the world. I started to think about that. I wasn't aware he had left. Now, seminarians, yeah, we know he ascended. See, Gary's here. I got to make sure I behave in front of Gary. I know you do.
Bring it.
Yeah. But no, I know Jesus ascended a long time ago. He met with the apostles and said, okay, now is my time. And up he went to heaven, and the apostles are standing there with their mouths hanging open because they couldn't believe what they had just seen. But was that it? Did Jesus ascend and left the world forever?
No.
You know, I can't possibly think that's the case. So, you know, why are we here tonight? Are we here sitting around waiting for the second coming? You know, this is the night that Jesus is coming back, so we're going to have revival?
Nope.
Could be. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back.
Not even that.
But if we look in Revelation 19, Jesus is coming very soon. When the heavens will open and the rider on that white horse will descend and rescue us from this place in which we live and the mess we have made of it. So as we get into this message tonight, recall some of the scripture passages you already heard, because you're going to see how the Spirit works. God works in mysterious ways.
Amen.
Y'all know better.
I don't think I heard that. Did you hear that?
I'll give them that one.
Oh,
they know better. They know better. All right, so as we go on, have we ever considered sin and what role that plays and why we might feel that God is absent? Now, some of you may remember the When God's People Pray Bible study we did. I'm doing that one at Fox Hill Central right now. Just finished up week 4 yesterday, but last week, obviously then, we finished week 3, and the subject last week was obedience and prayer. And Jim Cimbala talked about how when we sin, God's not going to answer our prayers. It is sin that separates us from God in the first place. You know, it is sin that distorts the image of God that was made within us. Go back to Genesis and we'll read it. Let us make humanity in our image. And friends, sin causes God to simply ignore our pleas. You know, sin is destructive. It serves no constructive purpose whatsoever. You know, something similar to those colorful metaphors. Oh my gosh, nobody knows what those are?
We're waiting to hear you tell us which ones you were going to use. We have some.
Oh no, I'm not using those.
Okay.
You know, but it's that You know, I'm almost take offense to it when they call it Seder language, but, you know, so if I say language like a sailor, you might understand, I don't know. But friends, if we choose to sin, why would God want to bless us? Why would God want to bless anything? And if we go into our scriptures and we read about Judah and we read about Israel in their ways of idolatry and doing everything else they are doing against God's will, we will also read God basically telling these people, talk to the hand, because the face ain't listening. You can call on me all day long, and I am not going to listen. And that's what God said to Judah and to Israel. Look it up. You know, we hear that God answers prayers and God hears our prayers, but there is this thing that separates us from God. And it is that three-letter word, sin, that separates us from God. So if we choose to live in sin in one practical area of our life, you know, as Pastor Jim says in this video series, you know, we don't want God to look at this thing. We want God to bless all these things over here. Why is God going to bless these things over here if we are still intentionally living in sin, doing this thing, whatever it may be? You know, how bold and brazen of us to think that God would actually do that. And in Mark's gospel, not only, you know, does God refuse to listen to our prayers when we sin, but in Mark's gospel, Jesus talks about walking around with a millstone hanging around our neck. You know, in the 9th chapter of Mark, the disciples have been put on the spot time and again because they don't get it. Jesus tries to straighten them out. They still don't get it. And in the 9th chapter, the disciples turn into tattletales because all of a sudden, you know, they've already been called out because they could not cast out a demon. And then they're tattling to Jesus because they said, well, this guy over here cast out a demon. He's not even one of ours. You know, the disciples are still just missing it. And Jesus, again, puts them in their place. Because why were they failing? Because they lacked faith, first and foremost. And Jesus called them on that several times. So something like that, it might be something similar to what might happen in this community. I know you just did your food bag drive this past weekend. Now, that would be like, you know, somebody spotting Lower doing the same thing and coming to Pastor Ken. Pastor Ken, Lower's doing a food pantry.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So what? Are they doing it in the name of Jesus?
Hallelujah.
So what if Lower is doing a food pantry? So what if somebody else is casting out demons? Because it's being done in Jesus' name. And that is what discipleship is all about, is doing things in Jesus' name for the glory of Jesus and for making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of Lower or Philippi or anywhere else to do work in Jesus' name. If we are a disciple, that is what we are to be about. Now, if we try to stop them, as Jesus teaches in Mark 9, that's being a stumbling block to what they're doing. And that's when he gets into wearing that millstone around our neck. If we're going to cause somebody to stumble in their faith, their spiritual growth, Jesus says it's better you walk around this millstone and go jump in the river. Do not get in the way of anybody sharing the gospel message. That is the point Jesus is trying to make. But then Jesus brings it back our way too, because he says if we get in our own way, now he's talking about amputation. Oh my. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, off it comes. If you're looking at things you shouldn't be, gouge out your eyes. Because we are inhibiting our spiritual growth. We become our own stumbling block. Now, does Jesus literally mean to go chop things off? Because how many of us here would have all our body parts? Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Just a slight exaggeration on Jesus' part. But do we get the point? Say yes.
Yes.
Anything that gets in the way of growth, anything that gets in the way of doing kingdom work must be removed because that barrier is blocking blessings from God. Okay, thank you. Now, so do we get any of this? And I hope we do. I hope we get some of this. And does it make sense to us who are gathered here? I hope it does, but what about the rest of humanity? You know, do they get it? If they don't, it could be because they are lacking Jesus. It could be because sin is blocking their view of Jesus. It could be they are walking on the wrong path. And it is up to the disciples. Oh, guess who that is? It's up to the disciples to get them back on the right path and to enter through the narrow gate. Not the wide gate where the road is smooth. So when it comes to discipleship then, friends, it's a matter of intention and motivation of the heart. You know, why are we doing the work we do in the world today? Is it for ourselves? Is it so we can ring our own bell, toot our own whistle? Or is it to bring glory to God? If people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So now the question becomes, why won't people humble themselves? Because that's a tough thing to learn, isn't it? Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
No, why won't people call on God's name? Because if we do, God will bring healing. And so in this passage, we have that if-then level at the divine level. If people will humble themselves, and if people will pray and seek my name, and if people will confess their sins, then I will hear from heaven and forgive sin and bring healing to the land. If then, you know, so the question then becomes, what is the holdup? Why are we waiting? Because Jesus is waiting. But people have to step outside of their comfort zone. You know, Christianity, you know, sometimes is its own worst enemy. You know, we get caught doing something we shouldn't be doing. People are watching, believe it or not. And then they're going to figure, well, I don't want any of that. He belongs to this church over here. He's a Christian. And why is he doing this? Stumbling blocks to others and to ourselves. But friends, discipleship is a hard thing. It's very difficult to be a disciple of Jesus today. And guess what? It wasn't any easier back in Jesus' time. The disciples lived in fear of their lives after Jesus left. But their efforts were always focused on the community, on being the hands and feet of Jesus when he departed. And friends, that must be our focus today, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community, beyond this community, in this county, across the Commonwealth, however you want to look at it. It is up to us. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. As disciples, we have been set apart for ministry. Set apart from who? Set apart from everyone else who has not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so when people see that, they know who we are, and they're going to hold us in a higher light. They're going to hold us accountable. And we need to remember that we are God's children. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. So how are we portraying Christ today? You don't have to answer that one out loud. How are we portraying Christ today? James 5:16 says this, "Therefore confess your sins to one another." Oh, yeah. "And pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." The prayers of the righteous. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. If we have any sin in our heart, then we are not right with God. Any sin, and especially unconfessed sin, if we have any sin in our hearts, we are not right with God. We are not righteous, and God, therefore, will not listen to our prayers. But when we do that, when we confess our sins, when we confess them to God and we confess them in worship to one another and we pray to God for one another so that others may be healed, we will be healed. And then those prayers become effective and powerful. And then we are able to pray for those who are living in sin right now. We are able to pray for those who are living in sin to be delivered from that sin. And we can pray that they will find and achieve salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we do these things, when we pray with righteous hearts, God will hear.
Amen. I heard a lot of crickets that time. There was a nice loud one in the back.
Okay. I think I'm letting them off the hook too easy, though. Is it late?
No.
This is God's time. Zechariah 1:1-3. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." So what have we done? What have we done today that has separated us from God? You don't have to answer that one. You know, what have we done in our lives that has caused God to move away from us as it feels? What have we done? And it's not that Jesus left and we need to bring Jesus into the world. It's that we left Jesus. Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. Jeremiah 18:7-10. At one moment, you'll love this one. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. If then, familiar concept, who knew it was scriptural? It is. If then, we receive what we deserve these days. If we choose to sin and live in sin, we reap what we sow. I think that's in the Bible somewhere. But God's grace says we don't get what we deserve. Yeah, there should be a lot of amens on that. If we feel that Christ is absent, that is on us. Period. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus speaking. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why would we not accept that invitation? Jesus is the one calling to come. I know you are weary. I know you are carrying those burdens. If you want rest, I will give it. Come to me and learn. The world can't find or provide what Jesus can. And what do so many people do but go around the world looking for temporary happiness and temporary peace, and they find nothing and they continue to be unhappy and full of strife in their lives because they have not come to the one perfect source of peace, and that is Jesus Christ. When he says in John 14, "Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give. Do not let your hearts be troubled," he says. And do not be afraid. Friends, Jesus is still in the world. Jesus has not gone away. And Jesus is calling us. And Jesus lives inside of each one who says, I am a Christian. Jesus has not gone away, but lives today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. That hymn would have not been written if that were not the case. And Jesus calls us to come to His table. And as we come to His table and we receive the bread and the cup, we receive grace and we receive forgiveness and we are strengthened for the journey. And Jesus says, come and meet me here, because here He is. And friends, this grace is freely available to each one of us. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
So friends, as we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord this evening, I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnals as we participate. And we'll stop for just a second.